Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to Woman to Woman. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, your host, and as always, it's a pleasure to be with you on today. God is good and worthy to be praised. I want you to get on the phone and tell somebody about Woman to Woman. Text them, go on over to email them, Facebook them, tweet them, and let them know. Let your sisters and brothers even know, because men need to hear some of the things that we're going to be talking about on today. But let them know that Pastor Rebecca Simmons is on Woman to Woman, and she will be talking about relationships today. I want to talk about why can't I be happy in my relationships? Why can't we be happy in our relationships? And today I just want to talk woman to woman. I am a Christian pastor, and I do believe in the power of God. I believe in the Word of God. The Word of God contains great power for transforming lives and for giving us wisdom and also for guiding us in the way that we should go. So I definitely will probably be using the Word of God, but I also want to just roll up my sleeves and talk to you woman to woman about some of the issues that we have in our relationships. So for the next hour, I will be discussing relationships. The chat room is open. The phone lines will be opened up towards the end of the broadcast. So maybe about 12:25, 12:30, I will be opening up the phone lines. So we're going to get started. I want to welcome you. If this is your first time, I want to welcome you here to Woman to Woman. It is my mission to be able to give back. I have been through a lot in my own life, and God has called me to come back and strengthen my sisters. I have really had some encounters. I've had some hard times. I have gone through some things in life that I wouldn't wish upon anyone, but I have survived. I have made it through the storm and through the fire, and now I stand victorious. As a result of that, I have made it my mission, my life's mission, part of my purpose, to strengthen my sisters. And I thank God for women everywhere who receive me with open arms and who tune in weekly to hear what I have to say pertaining to life, love, relationships, marriage, parenting, purpose, careers, anything that we deal with as women. So I'm not scripted. I don't work with a script. I don't have a script today. It was just impressed upon my heart today to talk about relationships. I was saddened. I'm quite saddened on yesterday on my way to work by what I heard on the news. As I was driving to work, I work at the Apostle's House, which is it's actually a residential home for teenage mothers. Again, I'm in purpose. If you're not in purpose, you want to make sure that you are actually making steps towards getting in purpose, because there is definitely something that God has ordained for you to do. And a lot of your experiences are leading you towards finding out what your purpose is. There is an anointing. There's power on your life for you to make a significant impact in the world, and a big part of that comes from your experiences. So if you're wondering what it is that you're really supposed to do, I want you to examine yourself and think about some of the things that you are passionate about. Think about some of the things that really get you going emotionally and intellectually, things that really make you say something has to be done about that. If you find yourself saying something has to be done about that, then chances are that you're the one who's supposed to be doing something about it. So that's a part of your purpose. Your purpose is really locked up in what you are passionate about. You're going to bring God glory in your life as soon as you tap into and begin to move forward to do what it is that you were created to do. And I believe that you were created for greatness. I believe that God put his mark of approval on you, and he has put everything that you need on the inside of you to make it in this world and to make an impact on this world. So get ready. Get ready. I believe that after you listen to today's broadcast, your relationships will change. The way that you look at life will change. Now, you may already be on target, so maybe I'm just here to encourage you to keep moving forward, to keep doing what you're doing. I want to tell you, if you're on course and you feel yourself getting tired or you feel like you're not getting any results, I want to encourage you to just keep doing what you're doing, not to grow weary. Don't get tired of doing the right thing. Don't get tired of doing the things that you are passionate about. Because if you keep doing the right thing, if you keep moving forward in your purpose, you're going to meet success. You will succeed. You will succeed. Just don't quit. Don't give up. And don't look at other people, because people are doing all kinds of things right now in this world. But we're not here to compare ourselves with other people. We're not here to compete with other sisters. You are here because there is something that God wants to do specifically through you. There's a difference that he's going to make through your life. You're going to make a difference in the world. And I guarantee you, if you stay on course, if you don't quit, if you don't look to the left or to the right, that you're going to be successful. If you keep yourself tied into the vision that God has given you, you will make it and you will succeed. So I want to talk about relationships again. I'm going to talk about something that I heard on the news on the way to work. And then we're going to move on and talk about relationships and marriage. I want to talk about your relationships. I want you to call me or email me even. You can call in at 646-652-4832. Or you can email me at power1, so that's power1@yahoo.com. Or you can email me at rebecca_simmons@ymail.com. Either way, I'll get your email and I'll talk about it. If I don't get it today, I'll talk about it on the next broadcast. I will be in Brooklyn on tomorrow preaching at their noonday service for the beginning of their women's convention. So I will be at a church in Brooklyn on tomorrow at 12 noon. And you can go to my website to get more information about that. Before I go off the air today, I'll give you more information. As a matter of fact, I'm going to pull it up now so you can, if you're in Brooklyn and you don't have a church home, or you don't go to church and you might want to come to church to meet me, then you can come on over to the church, and I will be there, and I will be glad to meet you. Amen? Amen. So I will be tomorrow at 12 noon. I will be at the Liberty Hall Cathedral of Praise, where Pastor Scott is the pastor over there. Liberty Hall Cathedral of Praise, and that's at 1387 East 96th Street between K and L in Brooklyn, New York. Their service time is 12 o'clock noon, and the theme is Women Empowered for Purpose. So if you don't have a church home, or if your pastor excuses you, but don't just get up and go there instead of going to your own church home. I believe in being accountable to your own pastor. So if you don't have a church home and you're in Brooklyn, I would love to see you tomorrow at the Liberty Hall Cathedral of Praise. We're going to have a mighty time, and there is a word from the Lord. And then on next weekend, next Saturday, at my own church at the New Creation Christian Ministries, NCCM, the Kingdom Church, over at 87 First Street in Elizabeth, New Jersey, next Saturday morning, starting at 9:30 a.m., we will be having a prophetic weekend. So we are having a prophetic weekend. We have a guest prophet coming in, Prophetess Yvonne Peterson, and she will be coming in to teach on the prophetic. I believe that the Lord is releasing the prophetic back into the churches, and a lot of people are abusing the prophetic, misusing the prophetic, ignoring the prophetic, and despising the prophetic, and that is not the intent of the prophetic. So we want you to come out on Saturday morning at 9:30, and then there will be no prophecy. If you want to hear what the Lord is saying to you, then there will be personal prophecy. We have a light lunch, and the afternoon is just going to be powerful. So I invite you to come out. There is no registration fee. So I invite you to come out and be a part of that. Also, on Sunday morning, Prophetess Angie Singletary will be preaching prophetically. Listen, if you are looking to hear what your purpose is, you want to hear about your relationships, what God is saying to you, for this hour, make your way over to Elizabeth, New Jersey on next weekend, the 17th and the 18th of April. I believe that God is going to speak, and he's going to move mightily through the prophets. I am a part of the prophetic team, Prophetess Angie Singletary and Prophetess Yvonne Peterson. Other prophets will be there, and we don't know what God is going to do, but I'm expecting great things. Amen. So let us move on. Now that you've invited all of your friends and you have some juice or coffee, let's talk about our relationships. Let's talk about relationships. Why can't I be happy in my relationships? And I want to let you know that I have invited non-Christians and Christians to come to be a part of this broadcast. Because guess what? If you're a woman, chances are that you are in a relationship. And what I have to say can help you. It can help you. So I'm going to pray, because that's what I do. But let me pray, and then we're going to just have a talk together. Amen. I'll be probably doing most of the talking, but you can call in and talk to me and ask me any questions that you have. Father God, we praise your name. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here on today. We ask that you bless this broadcast and let your will be done. Speak through me and speak to the hearts of the women who are gathered and who are gathering, even to listen to the archives. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and praise God. Hallelujah. God is good and worthy to be praised. Let me just tell you a little bit about myself for those of you who do not know me. I am a pastor. My name is Rebecca Simmons. I am a resident of New Jersey, and I am a survivor. I am a survivor. When I was a little girl, my parents lived in the same house. My mother was married to my father, and they did not get along. My father had his own issues. My father was a womanizer. My father drank a lot. He drank excessively. My mother did indulge in drinking alcohol as well. And then when they would drink, they would fight. So we heard a lot of fighting in our homes, in the other room, in my parents' room, because they didn't fight in front of us, but they did fight. And my father moved out of the house when I was 10 years old. My father, again, would go out and stay the whole weekend. And then he would come back home, and they would fight. And then mommy would kick daddy out, and then daddy would come back. But one time, mommy kicked him out, and he did not come back. As a 10-year-old girl, I couldn't really understand what was going on. So I spent a lot of time blaming myself. Maybe I wasn't pretty enough, smart enough. Maybe I was too fast, too bad, too ugly, whatever, too, whatever. You know, I just had no self-esteem. I mean, my self-esteem was so low as a result of daddy leaving. Now, dad said something one day that really messed me up even more. We went to get some money from him, and he made a statement that here come those kids. They only come here to ask me for money. So that kind of really did something to my young psyche. As a young girl, I didn't understand why my father would say something like that. So I felt totally unwanted, totally unprotected, totally uncovered, unprovided for, and undesirable, even by my own father. In the meantime, I had been molested along the way, which means that someone had touched me inappropriately as a young girl. So, again, I was dealing with all of these issues on the inside of my little 10-year-old body, and I really didn't know how to handle life. So, really, my idea of what relationships look like or were supposed to be like was formed by what I saw and what I heard from my parents and also from the soap operas, because my mother used to watch the soap operas, and every time that I came home from school, I would turn on the soap operas, and that became my world. Erica Kane, you all know Erica Kane, would be there, and she was always, you know, lying or sleeping with somebody. They were always lying or sleeping with somebody's husband or doing some crazy stuff. And that became my little world. So from 10 to 14, that was my world. But at 12, I was molested by an older boy. I was 12, he was 19, and he seduced me and took my virginity. Amen. So I was only 12 years old and didn't know anything. I knew nothing about sex other than the man who had touched me, and now this boy, this man child who was 19, who was taking my virginity from me. So after that, it just was a downward spiral. You know, I began to hang out looking for boys to look for me. Like if a boy looked at me and thought I was cute, then he became my boyfriend, and I entered into a relationship with him. And by the time that I was 14, I was pregnant for the first time. So here you can see that I have a story. I do have a story. And I had gone through some things. I have gone through some things in life, and I have recovered from those things. But as a result of all of that stuff, you know, being pregnant at 14, having the abortion, getting pregnant again at 15, and having my first baby at 16, and then getting involved with drugs and alcohol and going from relationship to relationship, each and every time finding that I was not happy in my relationships, which brings me to today's topic. Why can't I be happy in my relationships? Now, as you can see from my story, a lot of dynamics were being played out there. You can see that there were a lot of things going on. And people might say, well, why do you tell all of your business? Well, I tell all of my business because I have the victory over all of the elements of my past, all of everything that happened in my past. And I want my sisters and my brothers to also have the victory in their relationships, but mainly my sisters. I'm talking to my sisters because what we end up doing is giving ourselves to the wrong men, giving our bodies to men. We go into relationship with men, and relationship means that I'm going to sleep with you. And before we are 25, chances are we have already slept with more men than we want to talk about. Now, with a man that used to be okay with a man and not okay with a woman, if a man did it, it was good. If a woman did it, she was loose or hoochie mama or whore. But now it seems to be okay with everybody. If it feels good, just do it. But I want to say that it is a dangerous thing to go from man to man, bed to bed. Because when you sleep with somebody, what you're doing is you're picking up their spirit. You know, you may have heard it said that when you sleep with a person, you have slept with everybody that that person has slept with. Because every time that you sleep with someone, a piece of you or a part of you is connected to a part of them. And I'm not talking about your sexual organs. I'm talking about spiritually you are giving up a very special part of yourself. You're making a connection with that person. You are actually marrying yourself to that person. So here we are getting spiritually married and spiritually divorced over and over and over again, so that by the time we really do get married, then that relationship is doomed already, because we have too many other husbands that are in the way of us really being united to that one person. Amen. So how can I say this? How can I say this? My relationships were failing. I want to make this as plain as possible. My relationships were failing because of, let me use an acronym for fear, for failure, fail, F-A-I-L. The first thing was fear. I was afraid. I was afraid to let people know who I was. So I had a lot of secrets. Nobody knew that I felt scared. I acted like I had it all together. Can you relate? Have you ever put up a front and acted like you had it all together? So I acted like I had it all together. I acted like I didn't need anyone. I acted like it was okay for me to sleep with people who were not my husband. I acted like it was all okay, but really, deep down inside, I wanted more. I wanted more, but I was afraid. I had this fear, false evidence appearing real, that stopped me from being true to myself and honest with the people that I was in relationship with. I had a fear of rejection. Okay, let me say it like that. I was scared that if the person that I was in relationship with really knew who they were in relationship with, then they would not want me. I was afraid, because my daddy rejected me, I was afraid that I would be rejected. So I spent a lot of time pushing away good people. Like if a good man or somebody who seemed to be straight up and down, or what we would call corny or square, looked at me, I didn't want him. I was attracted to bad boys. Bad boys were emotionally unavailable to me. So that meant that they would not be, they wouldn't want me, and then I would have the privilege of pushing them away when they did act like they wanted me. They presented a challenge to me. I would make them change. And bad boys were like my father. You know, my father was a bad boy. So I was normally going to be drawn towards someone who reminds us of the very person that hurt us. So that's some history. Fear will stop you from allowing yourself to be in relationship with someone who can really love you. And fear will drive you to accept less. You will take less in your relationships because you are afraid. So fear, false evidence appearing real. And the Bible says that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and a sound mind. So think about that. Think about that for a little while. Fear is not of God. Fear is from the devil. And for those of you who are not Christians, the devil is the enemy of your future, the enemy of you being successful, the enemy of your victory, your adversary. The devil is what will stop you from having the best in life. Amen. So fear. Okay, so the acronym for fail. So the one, A, acceptance of other people's opinions and my own negative opinions of myself. Acceptance of other people's opinions and your own negative opinions of yourself will make your relationship fail. Because, again, you will find yourself in relationship with the wrong people. And you will accept the fact that they're hitting you, or that they're cheating on you, or that that person can't be trusted, or that person is lying to you. So you accept less because you believe the lies. And again, lies are of the devil. The Bible calls the devil the father of lies, said that the truth is not in him. He cannot tell the truth. So the lie becomes, I'm your last chance. Somebody might say, no one will ever want you. Nobody else wants you. I'm the only one that wants you, so you should consider yourself to be lucky to have me in your life. Well, the devil is a lie, because you are wonderfully and fearfully made. You are worthy of honor and respect. The Bible says that you are created in the image of God. So that means that you are worthy. God is worthy of honor and respect, and so are you. Do not any longer receive those lies, and stop thinking of yourself as less than. Stop thinking that you don't deserve to be in relationship with a good man. Listen, if you're good enough for him to sleep with you, if you're good enough for him to have sex with you, if you're good enough for you to, good enough to have his babies, if you're good enough to clean his house, wash his clothes, and cook his food, then you're good enough for him to marry you. And a lot of people say, well, I don't want to be married. I don't want to be married. Again, that's fear. That's the first letter of the acronym of why relationships fail. That's fear that says, I don't want to be married. My mother and father were married. They fought all the time. They didn't make it. They were miserable. But that does not have to be your story. Fear will stop you from having the best things in life. Acceptance of other people's opinions and your own negative opinions of yourself will stop you from having a great relationship. You can have a Bill Cosby-like relationship. You can have a good marriage. You can be happy. Amen. You can have well-balanced children. You do not have to be somebody's woman on a down low. You don't have to be a booty call. You don't have to be somebody's plaything. You deserve better. You deserve somebody who's going to commit to you, somebody who's going to put a ring on it. Beyonce says, if you like it, then put a ring on it. You know, put a ring on it. No ringy, no dingy. You know, we need to just stop giving ourselves so freely. And, you know, I wish someone had said something to me. I probably would have not listened, but God's word does not come back void. You know, words have power. And if someone has said you're worth more than that, you're more valuable than that, you deserve to be a wife, you deserve for a man to make a commitment to you, then it would have made a difference in the way that I did relationships. So don't be scared to get married. Just make sure that you're getting married to the right person. And the I in fail is for insufficient information about who you really are. Insufficient information about your true value. Again, I said it before, I'll say it again. You are more precious than rubies. You deserve the best things in life. You deserve to be treated like a queen. You are a good thing. The Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So you are a good thing. And even in marriage, I want to talk to the married women. Your marriage does not have to fail. Look at these three elements that I already talked about. Fear. If you stop living in fear, you're married now. What do you have to be afraid of? Now, I can understand if you're like me, if you perpetrated and pretended to be something that you were not long enough to get him to the altar, then you would be scared of him finding out who he really married. But you might as well come clean. You might as well come clean and let him know. Because, look, you're probably driving him crazy anyway, you know, by pretending. He's probably saying, well, who the heck did I marry? You know, you're probably nice one day and mean the next because you have all of these issues. You have to deal with your issues, amen. And looking at this acronym, fear, stop being afraid. Listen, let God heal you, let him change you, and then be honest and let your husband know, look, honey, I have a lot of issues that I was dealing with that I'm still dealing with, and this is what's going on. It's not you, it's me. At least now the man knows that he's not doing something wrong. you're constantly complaining about him and he's not doing this and he's not doing that because he can't make you happy. And guess what? You're right. He cannot make you happy. Happiness is something that comes from the inside of you. Joy is something that's internal. You have to first find joy in your relationship with God. And then happiness within yourself. You have to love yourself before you can even expect somebody else to love you. So stop being afraid and then stop accepting the lies of the enemy. Stop accepting those lies. You are not unworthy. You're not ugly. You're not stank. You're not anybody's booty call. You're not desperate. You're not desperate. If he can't receive you for the wonderful, beautiful thing that you are, that's his loss and not your fault. Amen. So stop accepting lies. You are somebody. God made you wonderfully and fearfully made. He has a great plan for your life, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So you don't have to receive lies over your life. You don't have to take just anything. Amen. You can stand up and say, I am somebody and I deserve better. Try saying that. Say, I am somebody and I deserve better. And go ahead and say, I'm not scared. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to be me. Dare to be who God created you to be. Stop living your life in fear. And then the third, insufficient information about your true value. Go ahead and say, I am precious. I have great value. I am more precious than rubies. I am the apple of God's eyes. I am somebody. You know, and you just really have to get that ingrained within your heart. I deserve better. If you're in a bad relationship, start saying, I deserve better. Stop taking junk from the person that you're in relationship with. Stop letting people hit you and call you out of your name. You're not a bee. You're not a hoe. You're not, you know, whatever curse word or profane thing he wants to call you. You're not that. You're not ugly. Look in the mirror and say, you are so beautiful. Begin to talk to yourself and affirm your value because God has already said these things about you. Amen. And the last letter in the acronym for FAIL is L, which is learned behavior. Learned behavior. That's what I was talking about earlier when I said that my parents fought and I watched the soap operas and that formed my idea of what relationship was supposed to be like and what marriage wasn't even in my vocabulary because my parents did so horrible at showing me what marriage was about. They did so horribly that I was like, I don't want to be married, you know. And then when I did get married, oh, my God, it was just a horror, you know, it was a horror. I married someone who had some secrets in the closet, and I did not know that when I married him. Take the time. Women, don't be so much in a hurry to get married. I know people will say your clock is ticking, your biological clock is ticking, running out of time, but forget about all of that. Take the time to get to know the person that you're trying to marry because you could be marrying a murderer. You could be marrying a rapist. You could be marrying somebody really, really horrible. And if you are a Christian, if you are a Christian woman, make sure that you're not marrying someone who is not a Christian. The Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked. Listen. If you cannot agree, you cannot walk together. If you cannot agree on your faith, if you cannot agree on who God is or is not, you cannot walk together. How can two walk together unless they agree? Amen. So make sure that you are not unequally yoked. I'm not going to talk about him having a lot of money. Listen, maybe you're not having success in your relationships, or maybe you're single, maybe you're a Christian woman and you're waiting on the Lord to send you your husband. Listen, maybe your standard, not your standards, but maybe your criteria for a husband is set too high. Listen, you have to have standards. Listen, he must have a job. He must be first he must be a man of God, not just Christian, but he has to live out this thing. So first he has to be a man of God, you know, who believes in Jesus Christ, receives him as Lord and Savior. Then you got to make sure that he is sober, you know, that he, again, man of God, is not going to be getting drunk and not going to be getting high. Make sure that he's straight. Again, a man of God is not going to be gay or a closet homosexual. So if you line it up and make sure that you got a man of God, that you have a man of God, then you pretty much are going to, everything else is going to be covered. Not just a church guy, not a man that goes to church, but a man of God, somebody who loves God, who does go to church, and who lives out the word. Amen. So he said he has a job. Again, a man of God will work. So make sure that he has a job. And if he got laid off, how long did he work on the job? Was it 15 years, 10 years? You know, make sure that he is educated. You don't want to marry a fool. I'm not talking about a college degree, but I'm talking about someone who has wisdom. Amen. And he can put a sentence together without busting words, you know. You want to make sure that it's somebody that you can go out with and not be embarrassed to have around your friends. And he might be humble. You know, maybe he's not eloquent. Maybe he does not have a huge vocabulary. But if he is a man of God and you love him, then maybe he doesn't need to be able to put that sentence together if it's okay with you. You know, maybe you can't really put a sentence together, and that's not, I'm not making light of it, but what I'm saying is it's okay, because we are who we are. No matter who you are somebody. Amen. So that's, standards are, he has to be a man of God. Criteria is when you start saying he has to have a college degree, he has to drive a BMW, he has to make six figures or maybe $50,000 a year, he has to have no children, never have been married, you know, he has to be 6 feet tall, he has to be slim, he has to be chocolate or cream, vanilla cream, whatever your preference, those are criteria, those are preferences, and you have to know the difference between standards and preferences. Amen. So the L is for learned behavior. I learned how to be in relationship through watching my parents and watching soap operas, and that's why the relationships were failing. If you're learning how to be in relationship from your parents, and your parents are divorced or fighting or cheating on each other, if you learn how to be in relationship through soap operas or movies and everybody was cheating and lying and fighting and getting drunk or high, if you learn how to be in relationship from your friends or your sisters or your brothers and they are not successful, then you're going to keep having bad relationships because you have learned how to be in relationship the wrong way from the wrong sources. Amen. For those of you who don't read the Bible, for those of you who do, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter, and it talks about love. It talks about what love is and what love is not. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about marriage, and it tells us about a husband's duties and a wife's duties. Those are some scriptures that I would recommend that you read even as you go from this place. As you leave this broadcast, read 1 Corinthians 13 and Ephesians 5, and you will begin to see some of the guidelines for a healthy relationship. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love does not hold a grudge. Love does not hurt. If a man is hurting you, a man of God, or my sister who may not be saved, if a man is hurting you, if he's hitting you, if he's cheating on you, if he's lying to you, if he's treating you badly, then that person is not the person that you need to be in relationship with. And I say that boldly because a lot of people say, well, why do you tell people to just leave? If you're not married to that joker and he's beating you up and spitting on you and calling you names and pushing you and cheating on you and lying to you, you can't trust him. You keep finding phone numbers in his pockets. You know, he doesn't know how to honor you. Then, yeah, kick him to the curb. Yeah, I said it. If you're just dating him, kick him to the curb. He does not deserve the time of day from you because he does not know how to treat you. and chances are he never will. If you're married to him, if you have made the mistake of marrying someone who treated you badly, lied to you, and cheated on you and hit you, if you made the mistake of marrying someone who is not a man of God, who can't honor you, then you made a mistake and you married the wrong person. But I am not going to tell you to divorce him, because marriage is honorable unto God and God hates divorce. I will tell you to go to counseling. I will tell you to put your foot down and say, you can't treat me like this any longer. I will tell you to learn how to communicate with this man so that he understands that his behavior is hurting you and that, you know, it's really making it hard for you to go day to day, you know. But let him know that you're not going to put up with this behavior on a long-term basis, that you're going to give him some time to get himself together. If he's hitting you, if he's beating you, then my suggestion is that you get yourself to another place. That you, if he's really, really beating you and threatening to kill you, then call the abuse hotline. Call the abuse hotline. Go online, look up Google. And look for the abuse hotline and call them and ask them to help you. Tell them that your life is in danger and you need help. Amen. But if it's not life-threatening, if he wants to slap you around a little bit, and I say there's no such thing, because I can't stand for anybody to put their hands in my face. But if he's cheating on you, that means that he's going to kill you, because eventually he's going to pick up a package. He's going to pick up AIDS. He's going to pick up some uncurable sexual disease and give it to you. And do you want to die? If you know your man is dipping that stick everywhere that he goes, if he's in bed with Sue and Sally and Bathsheba, then you know what? You need to think about getting yourself away from him. This is, I'm talking to married women now. If you know your husband is constantly sleeping around and he will not change, he refuses to change, then you might want to go into prayer and ask God what you're supposed to do. Adultery, sexual infidelity, and abandonment are two reasons that the Bible gives for divorce. And again, I'm not telling you to divorce your husband. What I'm telling you to do is put your foot down and say, I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm mad as hell because of the way you're treating me, and I'm not going to take it anymore. So let just be myself. I mean, I know I'm just talking. I know I've been talking for a while. The phone lines are open, 646-652-4832. If you want to talk to me, if you have a question, if you need prayer, if you need advice, you can call me and we'll talk about this. You know, but we have to, and again, this is Pastor Rebecca. I'm a pastor of the gospel. I'm a preacher of the gospel, and I'm preaching the gospel right now because the Bible says that Jesus came so that we could have life and have life more abundantly. It was never God's plan for his daughters to be mistreated in a relationship. So if you're not happy in your relationship and you just tuned in, I suggest that you go back and listen, because I gave an acronym for FAIL, why relationships fail. FAIL, fear of abandonment, fear of rejection. Acceptance of other people's opinions of yourself and your low opinion of your own self. I is insufficient information about your value, not knowing that you are precious, not knowing that you are more valuable than rubies, not knowing that you are too good to put up with nonsense from a no good man. Okay, I'll just say it like that. Insufficient knowledge about who you are. And L, learned behavior. You learned how to be in relationship to your mother, your father, your friends, the soap operas, where everybody's doing it wrong and you really don't know that you deserve better in your relationship. So you're doing what you saw mama do. I fought every man that I came into relationship with, because that's what I saw my mother do. And I thought that if I fought him, if he hit me, then that meant that he loved me. But the devil is a liar. It did not mean that. It just meant that I was being foolish. I was being a fool trying to get somebody to fight me, to hit me, to hurt me, to show that he loved me. No, that's not love. That's foolishness. Amen. So that's why I say, if you're in that type of relationship and you're married, then get some help, get some counseling, put your foot down, move out to another apartment, kick him out, whatever you have to do. Get to a safe place, get yourself together, do some thinking, do some praying, and give him some time to decide if he wants to do right by you or not. I'm not suggesting divorce, because, again, God hates divorce, but I do suggest that you do something drastic that says, I want to live. I can't be with you if you're sleeping with other women. And this is if you're single, too. If a man's not treating you right, if you're single and you're in a bad relationship and it's not your fault and the man is not treating you right, then you need to kick him to the curb, because he does not deserve to be with you. Now, you say, well, you might say, well, it is my fault. It's never your fault for somebody to put their hands on you. It's never your fault for you to be beaten. It's never your fault for somebody to cheat on you. He's sleeping with you, and he's sleeping with five other women at the same time. You don't deserve to die. You can't take somebody else's behavior and put it upon yourself and say it's my fault. And listen, a lot of men will say, if you don't sleep with me, then I got to sleep with somebody else. And this is your boyfriend, and you don't want to sleep with him because you're saving yourself for marriage, then look, let that joker go sleep with somebody else. Let that man go. Go ahead. You're not worth it. He's not worth it. You don't have to give up your virginity. You don't have to give up your sex because he wants to manipulate you and trick you into sleeping with him. You know, because most of the time when a man gets what he wants, if he can get your sex, then he's going to leave anyway. You know, eventually, because you made it easy for him. You know, sometimes we need to play hard to get. We need to stop giving it up so freely. We got to stop giving it up so freely. You know, I say save yourself for marriage. I say if no ringy, no dingy. You know, if he doesn't propose, no proposal, then we're not going to go and roll around in my bed or yours or on the couch or on the floor. We're not going to do it because I deserve better. You got to get that in your mind that you deserve better. You don't need to be. Why can't you be happy in your relationship? Maybe because you're picking the wrong men. Sometimes we pick men who are like our daddies. I talked about me being attracted to the bad boy. And sometimes we will pick a man who reminds us of our father. Amen. But God has better for you. God has better for you. So, Chancellor, if you're single, there's good news. You don't have to end up married to a jerk. If you're single, there is good news. After listening to this broadcast, and I'm going to be talking about relationships in the future too, but after listening to this broadcast, if you're single, the good news is you don't have to end up in relationship with or married to a jerk. Listen, don't be so desperate. Don't feel like you have to have a man in your life, because you don't. You know, a lot of us have been molested. I talked about being molested earlier. We have been abused. You know, we've been abandoned by our fathers. You know, that has a great impact on how you do relationships, because you go into relationships kind of desperate. You know, you feel like if daddy didn't want me, then I got to take whatever I can get. No, you don't. The devil is a liar. I know I keep saying that. But you don't have to take whatever you can get. You don't have to put up with it. And listen, if you've been in a relationship with him for more than 3 years and he's not talking about marriage, then you need to start talking about marriage. Ask him, what are your intentions? What are your intentions? Are you going to marry me? And a lot of people will say, well, no, the man is supposed to propose. But, well, if he hasn't, then you go ahead and propose that he proposed. You go ahead and say, you know what, I think we need to start talking about marriage, because I'm not going to spend the rest of my life giving you a free ride. And I'm just really, really being honest and open, because I can't play church. I am a pastor, but I believe that it's real talk like this. And this is all biblical. I'm not quoting scripture. But this is biblical. Real talk is going to help you in your relationships. And then another thing, and you can call in 646-652-4832 if you want to say something or ask me a question. But another thing, and this is, I only have 10 minutes remaining, but I'm just going to say this. If you missed it, go back and listen, blocktalkradio.com/power. But another thing that we need to do, we need to deal with our own issues. You have to deal with the fear of rejection. You know, stop being scared that you can't be yourself. Stop being scared to be yourself. Stop being scared to demand higher quality in your relationships, that you be treated right. Let him take you to a fine restaurant instead of taking you to McDonald's. What? That is not a dinner date. And then you want to roll around in the back of my, he wants you to roll around with him in the back seat of his car? No. No. Or go to some hotel for a short stay? No. 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 That is not how we're going to do relationships. I deserve better. You know, no. So what do you say? Take me for a steak and lobster and then I go sleep with him? No. No. He can't buy you. Him buying you dinner does not buy your body. You know, if you are single, hold out for marriage. I know it's old-fashioned, but hold out for marriage. Stop sleeping around with so many people because you're just picking up all these spirits along the way. You know, you wonder why you have issues. Save yourself. Save yourself. Amen. For marriage. I know it's old-fashioned. It sounds corny, but that's all I'm preaching. I'm saying save yourself. You know, Steve Harvey said wait 90 days. Okay, wait 90 days, and then wait 90 more, and then wait 90 more, and then wait 90 more. That's a year. By then, he should propose. Amen. Let him know that you want to get married. Don't just go and be somebody's girlfriend. Come on. You're 40 years old, and you want to be somebody's girlfriend? No. I'm looking for a husband. You know, and you don't have to tell him that, but carry yourself in such a way that they know you're looking for a husband. Deal with your issues. You might be crazy, like I was. I was crazy. I wanted to fight. I cursed out the man. One day I was nice. The next minute I was mean, nasty. I was Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hyde. Had issues. Issues with fear, issues with low self-esteem. I had issues because I had been molested, issues, just issues. Didn't think I was worthy, didn't have value, you know, didn't think I deserved more. You know, there were times when I didn't want to sleep with my boyfriend, but I slept with him because he said if I didn't do it, somebody else would. His stomach was hurting, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff men will tell you. But you have to realize that, especially if you're a Christian, you know, I mean, I can't expect you to stick to this if you're not a Christian because it's hard to hold on to yourself, you know, when you don't have the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, if you're a Christian and you have the power of the Holy Spirit, you can hold yourself and you don't have to sleep with that man. And stop moving. Christian women, stop moving in with men or letting them move in with you. You're a Christian, you got a boyfriend, and you live with your boyfriend. What's up with that? That is not God, and God is not pleased with that. Now, it does not mean that you lose your salvation because the gift of eternal life is irrevocable. God does not, he's not an Indian giver, but it's not God's best for you. You deserve better. How long is he going to play with you and use your body before he decides that there's another woman that he wants? Let him make the commitment. If you, and I said it earlier, if you're good enough to sleep with him, if he's good enough, if you're good enough to have his babies, cook his food, you know, if you're good enough to clean his house, then you're good enough for him to marry. Don't give away the cow, don't give away the milk. Let him buy the cow. And I know you're not a cow. Let him buy it. Let him put a thing on it. Amen. Stop giving everything away for free. And you're not going to prostitute yourself, but hold out for the best things in life. Don't give yourself up to some man who's not going to honor you. Listen, if he's the right man, listen, men are strange creatures. They're strange. You know, they will push you. Listen, a man in the church will try to have intimate relationships with you, but that doesn't mean that he's not a man of God. That means that God's still working on him. But he might ask you, but it's your responsibility to say no. And if you're in a relationship and you're sleeping with your boyfriend right now, try to stop, especially if you're a Christian. If you're a woman of God, try to stop, you know, because guess what? If you keep sleeping with him, chances are he will never marry you. You know, a lot of women think that I'll have to sleep with him and then he'll marry me. But guess what? It's the opposite, you know. And a lot of women say, well, Pastor Rebecca, I don't want to get married and find out I don't like it. What if I don't like, you know, having sex with him after we get married and I waited all of this time? And to them, I said, God's going to work that out. You know, because the thing about it is, if you're attracted to him like that, then chances are when you guys get together in the bed, it's going to be good. I know I'm just putting it out there. You know, if you have juices flowing and you like him and he likes you like that, and you guys are finding it hard to keep your hands off each other, if you've been dating for 6 months to a year, go ahead and get engaged. If you got other stuff in common, you know, like I said, don't just marry anybody just because you want to have sex. A lot of people make the mistake of getting married because they want to go to bed together, but you want to make sure that he's a man of God, and you want to make sure that you cleaned up your issues. You don't want to get married and be miserable because you got issues. Amen. I was miserable in my marriage when I first married my husband because I had issues. You know, I had low self-esteem. Like I said, wanted to fight. And the first 7 years of my marriage were horrible. I was not happy in my marriage because I thought he was going to make me happy. And the thing about it, I said it before, no man can make you happy. Don't give nobody that much power in your life that you're going to allow them to think that they're making you happy. Let your joy come from the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That gives you power in your relationships. And when that joy comes from God, then you can learn how to love yourself. See, I need somebody to love me is what we often say. But I'm going to say you need to love yourself. The Bible says love the Lord your God. Love God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So this is what you do in a relationship. You love God, you love yourself, and then you love your man. Don't put anybody above yourself. Don't put any man, the love for any man, above the love for yourself, and most importantly, above the love for God. If you can keep those three things in the proper perspective, you can be happy in your relationships. I talked about making sure that he was a man of God, but before you can really be happy in any relationship, you have to make sure that you're a woman of God, that you have a love for God, that you're allowing God to help you to deal with your issues, that you're being healed for being abandoned by your father and molested by that uncle or that cousin, that you're being healed from mama not being there, that you're being healed from all the stuff that went wrong in your childhood. You can't be happy in your relationships because you're not happy with yourself, because you got all this stuff going on in your life and God wants you to be free. So today I speak to you, woman, thou art loose. Be free from the infirmity. Be free from all of that stuff, all of that baggage that is keeping you in bondage. Be free. Let it go. Forgive the people who hurt you in the past. You have to forgive because you can't be happy as long as you're holding on to anger. You can't be happy and angry at the same time. Did you hear what I said? And I'm going off the air. But I'm going to close with this. You cannot be happy and angry at the same time. Whoever hurt you in the past, whether it was daddy or uncle or mommy or your brother or a cousin or a man down the street, man on the block or a woman on the block, somebody hurt you in the past, if you want to be happy right now in the present, you got to let the past go. You got to release them, forgive them. They don't deserve to be forgiven, but you deserve to be free. Amen. While I'm out of time, I pray that you were blessed. Come back and see me next week. I'll be talking on relationships again. Tell somebody and make a decision to call me. Talk to me about your relationships. I don't just want to be out here talking, but I want you to call me so I can give you some advice so I can help you directly. Whatever your situation, I believe that God will give me an answer for you. Amen. So go in peace. I love you. Serve the Lord. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, all you got to know is that he came and lived and died so that you could be free. He was the very Son of God, and he was in the grave 3 days. He got up with all power in his hand. He came to bridge the gap of separation between us and God. He came so that we could be free and have that life more abundantly. Yes, we're going to heaven, but we're going to have heaven right here on earth. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons. You can say yes to Jesus. Just say, yes, I repent of my sins and I receive Jesus right now as my personal Lord and Savior. And you too can be saved and receive the power for healthy, happy relationships. I'm out of here. God bless you. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Yeah.